We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and there is a tiny verse that is at the end of Galatians chapter 5 that to me is very, very meaningful. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 25, and it says this: since we live by the Spirit, let's pause there for a moment. Living by the Spirit simply means that, hey, we are, when we entrust ourselves to the saving work of Jesus, that he brings his Holy Spirit within us to lead us, to guide us. And he says, when we live by the Spirit, there's the second part: let us keep in step with the Spirit. I mean, I have been meditating on this and thinking about this whole concept of keeping in step with the Spirit. When I was little, boy, my dad had the fastest walk of anyone that I knew. I mean, he just motored along. You know, he wasn't very tall, but boy, could he get those legs going. And so as a little kid, I've got to come down here to kind of demonstrate it. But you know, it's like when you're trying to keep up with someone, you're doing one of these. You know, you're kind of like skipping along. You know, you're trying to, you know, you're double timing. You're just, you know, you're doing everything that you can do to try to keep pace, to try to keep in step. And that was the image that kind of came back to me as I was thinking about keeping in step with the Spirit. But can I tell you, I think that when some of us think of God, it's kind of like, wow, if it's hard to keep in step even with your father, right, your dad, and you're just this little kid, how hard it can be to try to keep in step with him, how much more difficult is it to keep in step with the God of the universe? It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, we can already feel defeated. We can already feel kind of beat up, like, man, if I can't even keep up with natural things, how would I ever keep up with the God of the universe? It can feel discouraging. Because I know myself. I know my tendencies. I know my weaknesses. I know what I'm good at, but I really know what I'm not good at. Right? How would I ever keep up? How would I ever keep pace? But I want to tell you something. This God, this Holy Spirit that we're to keep in step with, loves you more than you love yourself. He is the one, Jesus is the one that said, come to me and you will find rest for your soul. See, God is not in some frantic pace, like chasing out there like crazy, and you've just got to like have this frantic pursuit of God. When it says to keep in step with him, you've got to understand that he is not in some frantic sprint and you just go like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with God. No, he's the one who wants to be kept up with. And we know from Scripture that he is the lover of our soul. Have you ever taken a walk with your lover? Come on. Have you ever taken a walk with your lover? Don't get quiet on me now. Have you ever gone on the beach, Ricky, holding the hand of your lover? Come on. When it says, thank you, when it says to keep in step with the Spirit, what I want you to picture is I want you to picture that this is not some frantic race. And that this is actually the lover of your soul that is reaching out his hand to you and saying, man, let's do this together. Let's do this together. Take my hand and walk with me. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Jesus is calling. He's calling. Come. Come. Walk with me. Walk with me. You know, we use the term Christian because it's a biblical term. It really is. We find that the early disciples were called Christian. And really, it was a kind of a derogatory term. It was given to early disciples of Jesus because they were like little Christs, right? So they got this term Christian. But, you know, in our world, the term Christian is not always helpful, just to be honest. It's not always helpful because so many people have these twisted preconceptions about, oh, you're a Christian, right? You're one of those. And unfortunately, when they hear the term Christian, sometimes they are like literally, because they're people who've read, they're people that study, they know that this religion called Christianity has often not been healthy, has not been good, has not looked like Jesus whatsoever. And is gone. There's been death in the name of Christianity. There has been abuse in the name of Christianity. There has been all kinds of things that are negative in people's minds when they hear that term Christian. When Facebook first came out, I was an early adopter because I worked with young people. So when you guys were all like, I'm never going to go on that, and then like 5 years later you went on that, like, I was already on it, right? I was already on it. And I remember when I first signed up for Facebook about a million years ago, that it, you know, that there was different things that you could put down there. And one of them in the early days, I don't even know if you still do it, but it asked like for a religious like conviction of some sort, and you could put something in there. And I thought long about it. And what I put is, I didn't put Christian. I put this, I put follower of Jesus. Follower of Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And I was reminded of that looking at Galatians chapter 5, saying, keep in step with the Spirit. Because we are walking with Jesus, and he calls us. He calls us and says, would you follow me? Would you follow me? Being a follower of Christ, not called to a frantic pace, but to this rhythm of grace, of rhythm of love. Being a follower of Jesus also means that we're not to run out ahead of him. Ever done that? You ever gotten ahead of where God was going and you realize, oh, this is bad. This is really bad. I don't know where God, I'm looking around and I've run out in front doing my own thing, right? I thought I was doing God's work, but it was just doing my own thing. And then sometimes we fall behind God. We get so busy doing our work, our stuff, our busyness, our hecticness, things going on in the world around us, that we look up and we realize, wow, where is God? I think I've fallen behind here. And then all of us know what it's like for God to be going one direction and we turn to the left or we turn to the right. And we get way off his path. We sin, we really grieve our own hearts, even as we're grieving the heart of God, because he loves us. He wants us there, walking side by side with him, because he knows the pain that happens in our lives when we are not walking in step with him. We're called to walk in step with him. So what does it look like? What does it look like? I want to give you two very simple things, two really simple things that the Holy Spirit helps us with to stay in step with him. And to show you these two things, I want to look at someone very briefly from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. It's a man, his name was Simeon. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And we're going to see two things that the Holy Spirit was doing in his life that I believe that we see through all of Scripture, that the Holy Spirit continues to do these things in our lives as well. And this was just after Jesus was born, and Mary and Joseph were literally bringing their little tiny infant baby to the temple to dedicate him. And when they get to the temple, they encounter this man named Simeon. And it says this, it says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Can I just tell you right now? It's like, man, when you think about your life and you go, man, I don't know if anybody would ever describe me as righteous and devout. Let me tell you really simply how to get there. Just walk in step with the Spirit. Just walk in step with the Spirit. When you're holding Jesus' hand and saying, I'm not going to get out in front. I'm not going to fall behind. God, I am not going to turn to the left and the right. Guess what? Jesus' righteousness is given to us. We're not going to be perfect, but we know the one who is perfect, and we're holding his hand. We've been forgiven by him, and I'm going to tell you, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of Christ. So we don't look at Simeon and say, whoa, we could never attain that. No, 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 we get to be righteous and devout just the way that Simeon was. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. Can I tell you this? Simeon was at the right place at the right time because he was in step with the Spirit. And because of that, he literally got to touch God. Wow. He didn't just take Jesus' hand. No, he actually like took Jesus in his arms. Isn't that beautiful? But it was because he was following the Spirit. He was in step with the Spirit. I'm going to show you just two things it says right here that the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit was upon him and did two things. It says he had revealed to him. Say revealed. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. When we were up here just moments ago, laying hands on Kaylin and praying over her, you heard different ones express different things that they felt that the Lord was reminding them of, that the Holy Spirit was kind of stimulating in their own minds, their own hearts, and that they were willing to articulate that, to speak it out. It came through scripture. It came through images and words. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. There is a spirit of prophecy, we could say, that the Holy Spirit stirs within us because he is a revealer, okay? The second thing it says in here, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. Everybody say, led him. The Spirit not only reveals, the Spirit leads us. He shows the way in which we're to go. And the same thing that was happening with Simeon, with the Holy Spirit upon him, is available to us as well. And just for the next moments, I just want to show you a couple things in Scripture to illustrate that. And so that you know that this isn't just me up here talking with some clever ideas, but this is what we see as patterns throughout all of Scripture, and particularly those that have received the Holy Spirit, as we see in the New Testament that we've been talking about. Number one, God reveals. God is into show and tell. He likes show and tell. He loves showing things to his kids and telling them that which they would need to know, that which they would need to be reminded of in order that we can stay in step with his Spirit. I want to show you something. It's a little bit of a complex scripture, but we're going to go slow and just take a look at this verse, and then we'll move on. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, three verses here, verses 7 and 8, and then verse 10. We're going to put it up, and it says this. This is Paul talking, and he says, the wisdom that we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Just stop there for a moment. This wisdom that we talk about, this was a mystery. This was hidden from people of long ago. What is this mystery that was revealed, that was hidden? Can I tell you? It's the person of Jesus Christ himself. That's the wisdom that we talk about. We don't elevate ourselves and talk about how great we are. We don't even talk about doctrines and theology like we've got it all figured out. You know what we talk about? We talk about Jesus. He was the mystery that people longed to see and they waited for. Jesus is the wisdom of God that was a mystery previously. Even though God made it for our ultimate glory before the world began, Jesus himself. But then listen to what it says. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. But then listen to verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things. How? By his Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals those things that we need to know for our lives to keep in step with him. The Holy Spirit loves to reveal Jesus to us in any situation and at any point in our life. But you know what? You'll note, like with me, where it says, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. They have not understood what God is trying to reveal to them. Why is that? And who are these rulers? Can I tell you that just as when we read scripture and we see those religious leaders and rulers and they were all, you know, all haughty and all prideful and they thought they had it all figured out. Let's remind ourselves that when we look in the mirror, we have to recognize that a lot of us can have that same spirit of a Pharisee within us. And we become one of these rulers who don't get what the Spirit is revealing because we think we have it all figured out. God, we got this whole thing figured out. And when we place ourselves into that role of that like ruler, we put ourselves into a very dangerous place because there's that pride that comes there. And whenever we're filled with pride, you know what? We push everything else out, even those things that the Holy Spirit is working to reveal to us about how Jesus wants to work more in our lives. So even with this truth that he is the revealer, we have to caution ourselves to say, well, we have to keep our hearts so tender that we would never put ourselves in that place of prideful rulership above God. See, there can only be one ruler. And if it ain't God, then guess who it is? It's us. We put ourselves above God. And once we do that, man, we can't hear what he's saying. We can't see what he's revealing. We have to put ourselves under him. And when we do that, oh my goodness, those revelations of what the Holy Spirit would want to bring to us become so much clearer. One other scripture is John chapter 4, 14, 26. And again, I just want to show you this so clearly, what the word tells us about the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said this, and he said, but the advocate, I love that name for the Holy Spirit. He's your advocate. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? He will teach you all things. Whew. Isn't that awesome? In fact, in John 16, a couple chapters over, it even says that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit that he will guide you into all truth. Here it says, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. See, it's this beautiful thing with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit could even be called the Spirit of Jesus himself. Two distinct personalities, but they're not operating on their own the way we think of two different entities. There is this unity within the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where they are at one. There's oneness there. So when the Holy Spirit would reveal things to us, he's actually reminding us of the very things of Jesus himself. He's not speaking on his own. He's speaking the very unction and the very oracles of God. The Spirit will use many things to reveal himself to us. Many things. God will reveal himself to you through nature. He'll reveal himself through movies. He don't care. He'll just reveal himself to you. He'll just show up right where you are and reveal to you what you need to know. But I know two of the things that he's used probably more than anything else in my life is he uses his word, he uses scripture, and he uses other people. He has consistently done that my whole life. We need to be people who are not isolated either from God's word or from others within the community of faith who can speak life into us and would be used by God to speak. Just as Vincent, just as Jack, just as Jose brought those words to Kaylin this morning. Guess what? He will use other people in our lives to speak what is true, to affirm those things that are good and to challenge those things that are broken. We need others in our life and we need his word. We need to be people of his word because when we fill ourselves with God's word, guess what? It's really easy for him to remind us of things that we have already come to know. It's hard to remind somebody about something they've never heard before. You get it? It's hard to remind someone of something they've never heard before. But when you're someone who's already in the word, then it's pretty easy for the Holy Spirit to come along and remind you, to speak that word of remembrance. Say, hey, remember what I said in my word over here? Remember how I said that I would never leave you or never forsake you? Do you remember how I said, come to me and you're going to find rest for your soul? See, all of those sort of things, we get to enjoy the Holy Spirit reminding and revealing because they're things we've already committed into our spirit that the Holy Spirit can take out that highlighter and reveal it to us all over again. And not only does he reveal, but he leads. The Holy Spirit leads. He shows us not only his truth, but he shows us those next steps. He shows us where we are to go. When you read the book of Acts, boy, we see all throughout the book of Acts the leading by the Holy Spirit of his people. It's such a good example of what this looks like in our can look like in our own lives to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit oftentimes feels like that nudge in a particular direction. Sometimes we may have a very specific word, like, man, I want you to go there and talk to that person. I want you to move to that city. Kelly and I, you've heard some of our story. We grew up most of our lives in Southern California, and then we went into ministry in Southern California. We'd been in ministry for 17 years in Southern California. Now, we had so great a relationship. In fact, there's Joy right there who's visiting this morning, and Joy was in my junior high group in Pasadena. Yes. So glad you're here with your family today. And over here is Rachel. Wave your hand, Rachel. Rachel's a Foursquare pastor who's visiting. Their family's also on vacation this morning. Guess what? Rachel and I got to know each other when we were doing ministry in churches within Southern California a long time ago. We had rich relationship. We loved doing what we did. But then all of a sudden, 2001 came along, and God started to nudge us really hard. And very specifically, we knew within just the matter of a couple of months period of time that we were to leave Southern California and not just leave Southern California, we were to go to the East Coast. And man, what an amazing thing that was to hear because we had assumed, our assumption was we love Southern California. We will never leave Southern California. We like it. We like the multiculturalism here. We like the food. We like the people. People love us. You know, we were very, very comfortable in Southern California, but we began to really dramatically sense this nudge, and it got stronger and stronger. In fact, before we left Southern California to move back east, we literally sat down and counted 13 things that the Lord did to highlight to us. He revealed to us what we needed to do, but he was showing us where he wanted us to go. He was leading the way out in front of us. And one of the more dramatic things that I've shared with you before was during a season, literally, of fasting and praying and saying, God, we know you want us to go east, but we don't know where you want us to show up. We'll do anything on the East Coast. You just tell us where to go. And started fasting and praying. And on the very next day, I got a call from the Four Square Bible College on the East Coast. They had no idea of what was going on in our hearts or lives, but they invited us to go back there and step onto their staff, and we gladly accepted that and did that. God was leading us. We also assumed it was for a whole set of reasons that we came to discover after we got there, that God was putting us there for a whole nother set of things, and it was more for family than anything else. It was a beautiful thing that God did, very tender, how God positioned us in a place to be right near my mom when she was going through the most devastating time of her life. God put us within a fairly short drive to be able to support her, to encourage her during a very tender time. I think God moved us across the continent for my mom. I really do. Probably more than any other reason. God is good to lead us. And God is good to show us. And when you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that not only does God open doors to show people, hey, this is where I'm leading you, it's really interesting to find those places where God prohibited them from going to places, even when they were going to minister the life of Jesus. God opens doors that no one can shut. He also closes doors that no one could open or should open. And he does that for our own protection. One of the things that I don't think I've ever shared here is that when Kelly and I were praying about coming to Santa Maria Foursquare to become the pastors here, there was another church. We were already praying about Santa Maria, and there was another church that was opened up to us, and we got a call and said, hey, we know you're already praying about this church. Hey, but would you pray about this other church? We want to see what God might do. Maybe God's calling you to this other place. You know what? And Kelly and I said, we'll pray. You know, we're praying. We're seeking the Lord's leading. But when we went to that other city and, you know, kind of walked the grounds and talked with people and kind of assessed what God was saying, you know what? We immediately affirmed that God was saying no to that other place. The cool thing is that when God is saying no to us during his leading process, that's because he has something else for us. He was preserving us to come to this city for this time and this place. I'm so thankful that he said no to that other opportunity. But here's another cool thing. When God says no for us, guess what? That opened up a door for someone else who is praying equally as diligently, saying, God, would you show us where we're to go? And guess what? God opened up a door for another ministry family to go and serve in that church in ways that I probably never would have. God gets the right people at the right place at the right time, like Simeon. Sometimes he leads us into big things, like moving across a continent. But a lot of the ways that he leads us are just in those very gentle nudges. He leads us in the small things, not just the big things. I'm going to brag on Kaylin just for a moment because it's kind of her day. But something that just happened this week right here on our campus. She happened to be here for a few hours. And during that time, there was a lady that came and was open to receiving prayer. Mel and I happened to be down in the courtyard, and we began talking with her. And if you're here this morning, I'm not saying this to embarrass you, a very sweet lady. But she came, and she asked for holy water. And so we said, okay, well, she must have a Catholic background. And so we explained, hey, well, we're not a Catholic church, but we would love to pray for you. And in fact, we actually anoint with oil. And so I ran upstairs, grabbed a little bit of anointing oil, and came back down to pray with her. And when I ran upstairs, I bumped into Kaylin, and she was kind of like overhearing what was going on. And she said, hey, can I come pray? Can I come pray too? I was like, well, yeah. Come and pray. So Kayla and I got to go downstairs into the courtyard and just hear this lady's story just for a moment and then grab her hands and pray for her, for this season of life that she's in. You know, a lot of times that's the way the Lord's leading works in our lives, is just that real small thing. Hey, go pray. Go pray for that person. Go do that. Go over there. Go love on them. Go talk to them. You know, just make yourself available. It's not just in the big things. It's not just like moving across the country or this huge thing. It's being sensitive in the little things that prepares our lives and prepares our hearts for maybe the big thing that is just around the corner that we don't even know is there yet. We need to be like Simeon. Live with the Holy Spirit upon us, listening to his voice to reveal those things that we need to know. And then be willing to be led. Hey, today, don't forget, Simeon, go to the temple. What if Simeon would have said, God, I go to the temple all the time. I'm just going to sleep in today. He would have missed out taking God into his arms. The fulfillment of his lifelong calling to see the Messiah. He would have missed it if he wouldn't have listened to the small nudge, the small leading of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you, where is he leading you? Where is he leading you? Damon this morning mentioned that next week we're doing water baptisms. When you read through the book of Acts, there's a really clear portrayal in Acts chapter 2 as the Apostle Peter gets up and begins to declare, and he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but he says this. He says three things. He says, repent, okay? Repent means to turn away from our wickedness, turn away from sin, say, God, that's wrong. I know it's wrong. So that repentance is that turning from that, okay? Secondly, he says, be baptized. Second thing, repent. Be baptized. Third thing, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Whew. If you're saying, wow, I don't know how to get the Holy Spirit more into me. I really long to walk in step with the Spirit. Can I ask you this? Have you been baptized? Have you repented? I know that just in the past weeks, there was several people just in the past couple of weeks who said, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to receive a forgiveness and walk in relationship with him. Several people. Have you been baptized in water? Baptism in water is that signal, that public statement. It's not just a little private thing. No, we do a public baptism. It doesn't take long. But boy, is it a milestone moment of saying, I commit my life fully to Jesus. So if you haven't done that yet, I'm going to tell you, how do I do this thing of walking in the Spirit? Repent, okay? Be baptized. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. What else might be God leading you to do? I don't know. We're doing a lot of different things. Hope for Santa Maria, a literacy program that's going to be touching the children in our neighborhood with God's grace and his love and some good education is happening. That may be something that God's nudging you toward, leading you toward, saying, get involved in that. It's only going to take maybe a couple hours a week. Just get involved, step out, do something like that. Another thing that we're working on right now that's also going to be launching in August, you know that we do something a couple times a year called Dia de la Familia, the Day of the Family, and it's a way to touch our neighborhood and love on them and support them and encourage them and give them a fun, safe place. And we're going to start doing something weekly, every week. It's not going to be the Day of the Family, it's the Night of the Family. It's Noche de Familia. We're going to do it on Thursday nights, and we're doing this in partnership with Central Coast Rescue Mission and Grace Baptist Church, and we're coming together. And we need about 20 people from the three organizations, from us, from Central Coast, and from Grace Baptist. It's going to be about 20 of us that are going to serve together on Thursday evenings. We're going to feed families. We're going to do children's ministry. And again, it's a way to bless those in our neighborhood, to have that ongoing touch. People who may not today come into our church, but guess what? We get to go to be the church and extend our hands to reach out and serve those around us. And there's other things, of course, that are going on, being involved in community groups, all the good stuff that we do as a church ongoingly. What is God speaking to you? Where is he leading? Where is he leading? Let's pray.